Hello and welcome back to Progress Talk. Today I'm going to talk about the latest announcement for a major Democratic candidate, which is Beto O'Rourke. Everyone knows Beto O'Rourke from his 2018 Senate run against Ted Cruz in the state of Texas that almost flipped Texas and will, I say, for a long time, probably change Texas voting forever. I'm sorry, I have not been uploading. My microphone broke. I actually, sorry about that. I wrote a whole episode on a bunch of big candidates that dropped out, but right as I was going to record this, he basically announced right then. So I have to do this one. So Beto is from El Paso, Texas, a border town. Some might call it a city. It's pretty big. There's a lot of people there, but it's kind of has a small town vibe from what I've heard. I've never been there. He's from this border town. He was raised in this Latino culture, even though he's white. So it seems natural that immigration is his biggest concern. By biggest, I mean basically his only concern. He would be what I would call a one-issue candidate. In terms of opposing Trump on the border wall, having a new policy for Dreamers, and a bunch of other stuff having to deal with immigration, because in his community, immigration has affected him. Sorry about that. So, he served as a city commissioner for the city of El Paso for a few years. Then he went on to serve the El Paso District in Congress, and he did that from 2013 all the way up into his 2018 run for Texas Senate. His run for Texas Senate caught the nation by storm. Everyone was talking about it. That was probably the biggest race of the midterms. He ended up losing that one by only 3 points, which for a Democrat in Texas is actually really good, and he inspired a progressive movement in Texas. So, he's a really cool guy. He used to be in a punk rock band. People love him for that. He skateboarded on stage once. He live streams all his campaigns on YouTube. He'll live stream him driving for hours, and he'll just talk about all the issues that he wants. He uses swear words. He cusses a lot, and Republicans have tried to slam him for that. Republicans have also tried to slam him for his bad legal record because he got in a DUI. He got a DUI when he was younger. And I think he was arrested one other time for like jumping over a fence or something. But when the Republicans are nominating Trump and have Trump in the White House and he is, sexually assaulted a few women, you can't really slam Beto for that. I mean, you can, but it's hypocritical. The far left is against him. They were really for him in the Senate race, but now they're like, you know what? Not really. Not really for us. Because he has a pretty conservative voting record, at least for a Democrat. Which conservative candidates can be nominated in the party, we've seen that. I'm not going to say Hillary Clinton is definitely conservative, but she is definitely a lot more conservative than, say, Bernie. And the big theme I've seen for the 2020 election is that the whole left, the whole Democratic candidates, they've all decided, you know what? I think we should go a little bit further to the left. Even if not everyone is further to the left, it's just one of the most progressive classes of candidates we've ever seen. I would classify him as like a, I don't want to say Wonder Boy candidate. I don't know what the correct term is, but he's one of those politicians that people just fall in love with. He's just a really good talker, really smooth guy, and people just love that. To give you some examples, like Barack Obama or Bill Clinton are both that kind of same mold as opposed to Bernie Sanders. What you get in those candidates is a lot of people voting for them because they inspire a movement and they inspire people to vote for them just because they're really good at public speaking and all that. he's kind of the opposite of Bernie Sanders, because Bernie is just a, as some describe, a grumpy old man, which he has reason to be grumpy because of our system right now and all that. So I feel like Bernie's invoking change and a revolution on his own side, and he's really grumpy a lot, about a lot of stuff. Beto's young, targets millennials. He's very positive about this whole thing. I got an email today from the Kamala Harris campaign. Basically, Kamala was talking about how they're going to need more money now because Beto just announced. And I feel like that's very symbolic because I feel that Beto and Kamala are very similar on a lot of issues and stuff. So I feel like if one of them drops out and one of them keeps going, they will definitely. I don't know which one. I don't know which way it'll go, but I feel like Beto will either be Kamala's VP or Kamala will either be Beto and his VP. Or at least a position on the staff. I feel like that could win an election right there. Target the young vote, target minorities. That would be a kind of dream ticket for a lot of center Democrats. I personally don't think he will be in the race for too long, but I don't know. He seems a pretty resilient guy. So this pretty much leaves Joe Biden as the last big candidate. So we're all waiting for him to announce, and I'm guessing it'll be soon. So on the next episode, I'm going to talk about all the big candidates that dropped out so far. And then the next super episode where I talk about a lot of the smaller candidates that I feel like are very important to talk about. I'll talk about John Hickenlooper. Yes, you heard that right. Peter Buttigieg. And I looked that up two times to make sure I pronounced that right. And Julian Castro. And then in the next regular episode, assuming that Biden doesn't announce, I want to talk about Andrew Yang. He is actually one of my favorite candidates so far, and you've probably never heard of him. So stay tuned and thanks for listening.